Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
Well, we got Tim Pugh, one of our elders. Whoa! He is going to come and speak to us today. And if you've heard him before, you know you're in for a, well, not necessarily a good time, but you're going to definitely get challenged. So, Tim, come on up. Yeah! There
you go. That was lively. I feel like I should have been running up, like slapping. I don't see my stool up here, though. Yeah. Well, yeah, that one might be a little too casual for me right there. I might go to sleep if I sit on that one, but yeah, I'm getting old. I use the stool every once in a while now. I got my, I got my Bible here. This is like my holster. I can pull it out from. They talk about when you get married, you get married to get purified, and then you have kids and go a little deeper. And then you get puppies and keep them inside the house. It takes you to a whole nother level of purification right there. That's like my second one. He's gotten a couple of Brockies Bibles at our house, I think. One of Ava's. Yeah, a couple of my wives. Yeah, he's holy. So he took the eat the scroll, scripture to a whole nother level. So today is going to be a shoot from the hip day. Sam called me Friday night at 9 p.m. and is like, hey, feeling a little bad. Can you speak this Sunday? It's like, sure. I mean, that be ready in season and out thing is let's test it. Aaron works on Saturday, so I have both the kids all day Saturday. So not a whole lot of time to get things together. So Ben was sitting in on the things today, and he's like, hey, you have any scriptures? I was like, no. He's like, great, because I don't know how to do them. This is the first time I've done it. So the Lord is already moving in unity today. So we'll see what happens. when you think about current events, things that are happening in society, all this kind of stuff, I think it's critical that we don't spend too much time on that. But I do think it's critical that we address it from time to time. So when things are happening that are pertinent, to us as a body, us as believers, us as a church, those kind of things. And so I'm going to take advantage of that and just speak a little bit today just on the church and some current things that are happening and just see what happens. I don't have a lot of notes. I think I've got 10 words total and one scripture that I think I'm going to try and pop in just so y'all don't stone me today. So we'll just kind of see what happens. And I think Rocky's in the children's church, isn't he? I told him he was welcome to come up at any time if he had something, but I'll extend that to Rick. If there's something that provokes your heart, feel free. But Aaron and I were at IHOP, International House of Prayer, Kansas City. I was there 9 years. She was there 7 years. And probably a lot of you have heard, just the things that have happened there in the last, several months, just a lot of scandal. And I have still people that live there, people that are pretty well connected, and so there's a lot of news that I could get, but I've chosen not to. I was like, I'm not begging for information. I don't need to know this and that and the other. And when you look at social media, when any kind of thing like this happens, it's a train wreck, and it's really unbelievable. IHOP was never perfect. When we were there, we've been here 5 years-ish. But our experience was incredible. Mine and Aaron's, we got married there. We were both there a few years, separate, single, whatever. And then, you know, got married there. And so 9 years and 7 years. And we just had great experiences. And really almost all of my friends would say the same thing. It's like, it was amazing. I didn't like this, or, you know, this could have been better, da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, as this thing happened and came out, and it was just, issues with Mike Bickle, the founder and the leader, sexual, inappropriateness and relationships, and some of them were 25 and 30 years ago, and it's all a little bit confusing, because if you read stories, and it's hard not to see it sometimes. It's all over the spectrum, and you just don't know what's true and what's not true. And the thing you do know is that it's devastating. It's devastating to a ton of people. IHOP has been one of those ministries, kind of like Bethel, kind of like Toronto Fellowship, different ones like this that are pretty known worldwide, and a big media presence and video presence, different things, conferences, all those kind of things like that. So when something like that happens, when it started coming out, I was like, no, this is a total attack. I mean, they just had this big prayer conference for Israel where they'd gathered people to come together corporately all over the world and pray for the nation of Israel. And it was huge. And a lot of people at the time were going, there's going to be a response to this, from the enemy. There's going to be blowback. And because it was just, they had no idea that many people were going to join together, and praying for Israel. And so everybody, our faith, hey, man, this is going to be bad. We're going to get some blowback. And so this happened not too long after that, And me, I don't know Mike personally, but I've been pretty close to him for a long time. And I was like, this is an attack of the enemy. Out of anybody in the world, there's no way this guy, has had problems with, sexual relations, different things like that. And I don't even know what the extent was. He's admitted some inappropriateness in one statement. That's the only thing he said. And it was fairly vague. And so we don't know really what the extent was. But after that, just the way that, the leadership of the ministry has handled things has not been great. There's a lot of things that could have been done different, should have been done different. And, and it's tough when you're in the midst of it and you're the one that's taking all the fire, taking incoming fire, and you're trying to figure that out. You're trying to, shepherd the body. You're trying to, figure out what happened, what's real, what's not. It's just a lot of chaos happening. And so I get it. That, when you go into an event like that, you're not going to do everything right. And probably most of it, you're not going to do right. And you're going to hear about it a lot. And, but the thing that we do know is that the whole thing has caused, just a lot of devastation. And I look on, social media, people that I'm friends with, people that I've ran with, when I was there in IHOP and stuff, and just see their experiences and what they say about it, and just so broken, so wounded, so offended. And I get it, because the fallout from that is just so dramatic. We just don't catch it a lot of times. I was in a ministry, I won't even say where, but years ago I was in a ministry. We did a lot of work with the homeless, and we would send a lot of guys to, once they, had some breakthrough and stuff, we would send a lot of guys to Teen Challenge. If you're familiar with that, it's like it's not really for teens, it's mostly adults, but it's just a program, you can send to, you live there, you get lots of counseling and stuff and intensive things, and just kind of help people kind of get back on their feet, establish their faith in the Lord and be able to move forward, and change their lives and things like that. So we sent quite a few guys there. It's a place in Alabama, I think. And my pastor at that church that we were at ended up having an affair, ended up having to sit down for like a year. And we used to always go to Mardi Gras every year and do evangelism. And so we were there that the next one after this had happened, you know. And so I was talking to the guy that ran the teen challenge there. And I, you know, I'm early 20s. And I'm not much smarter now than I was then, but I was really pretty dense back then. But we're talking, and the pastor who's there is just, he's one of those guys. He's one of the greatest storytellers. I mean, he just have you engaged and laughing and gripped by stories. Just very charismatic, you know. And I'm talking to this leader of the Teen Challenge, you know, and he's like, man, you know, this has been really bad. He's like, I've had several of the guys that came from your ministry down here that were doing amazing. When they heard about this news, they were like, you know, well, if this guy can't make it, like, what hope do I have? Like, I'm done. There's no chance I'm going to make it out of this lifestyle if he can't do it, you know? And so they end up leaving the ministry. And so this guy was telling me about that. And, you know, and I just didn't conceive all that stuff that were happening in the periphery of what was going on. And I was like, oh, man, I know, man, it's so bad. I was like, you know, he was so charismatic and so good, you know, at running a service and things like that. And the guy like snapped his head at me and he was like, charismatic? He's like, charismatic? He's like, charismatic isn't going to get these guys off of drugs. Charisma isn't going to save these guys from going to hell. And he just laid into me. And I was like, I felt like, you know, Job after God spoke is like, all right, I'm going to shut up now. Like, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Like, I mean, he was livid, you know, just that. I would make that statement. I realized, yeah, it was a pretty stupid thing to say. But you just don't realize all the things that happen on the outside of these kind of events, you know, and how it affects people and how it affects their destiny and their lives. So I recognize all that kind of thing. But I'm looking at a lot of these, you know, these people just like, oh, God, I knew that guy, you know, I served with him. I knew that girl, you know, she was just so full of life and full of joy. And they're so broken and offended. And I get it because it shouldn't happen, you know. And the fallout that happens and all the different things. And some of those were affected personally. And I never was. I don't know. I'm just isolated in my little world. In the internships and, you know, we had a great leader and I just didn't feel any of those kind of things happening the years I was there. But my point is, as you see those things and you listen to some of the conversations, you see it just devolve into all these different things. Like, you know, I gave so many years there and they never paid me. And I was like, you chose to go there, you know, like you knew this is what it is, you know, and you chose to be here all these years. And they were like, well, but we were a lot younger than you were. And so we didn't understand as much. And I get that, you know, I can see that to some degree, but as the conversation, you know, continues to evolve, there's so much bitterness, you know, in some of those places. And some people were truly wounded, offended, hurt, neglected, a whole lot of different things that happened that were, some people, you know, had some abuse in just different ways. And it was just kind of like, well, let's just keep that between you and I and we'll deal with it. And, you know, and so a lot of those things happened and shouldn't have happened. And a lot of people were legitimately wounded and should be offended because of the way it was handled. But for the body as a whole, you can just see there's so much roots of bitterness and offense that were happening outside of all this stuff. And it was like when this event came up, it was like it legitimized. Now I can talk about it. You know, now I can get on, you know, social media and just blast it. And it's just difficult. As we look at these kind of events and stuff, and just how do we navigate this? And I don't want to, you know, dogpile anyone, but when we look at just recent events in the body and stuff, I know just last week or something like that, there was, you know, a big mega church, a men's conference, and they hired a guy to come in and swallow swords, you know, and it was like he's like up on a platform. I mean, it's a big mega church, a lot of people there, and a men's conference, super weird. And he had like a big pole. It's kind of, I mean, it looks like a stripper pole, you know, and he's out there and he's swallowing swords. He rips his shirt off, you know, and he's climbing the pole and hanging upside down. And it's just super bizarre. And the speaker that came up afterwards actually, you know, addressed it. And he's like, this is idolatrous. It's bizarre. It shouldn't have happened. You know, this is not the kind of thing that we need to promote. And the home pastor there finally, you know, yelled at him and told him to, you know, stop talking and get off the stage. So it was just several thousand people there. All this stuff is happening, you know. And so they end up coming back out later in the service together, da-da-da. It was just a crazy thing. And, you know, this church has had in the past, you know, their thing is, let's have a big event. Let's draw a bunch of people, hopefully unbelievers, get them into here because of the event. They've had monster trucks and they've had, I can't remember, just crazy things, you know, guys on horses or jousting or something like that. Just crazy things to attract people. And I get it. Like, I don't want to be legalistic about, you know, you can't have any kind of thing like that. It's ungodly or whatever. But I think we got to be wise in the sense of, like, is this something that's going to glorify God? Is this something that's going to draw people and make them look at him? Yeah, let's have fun. Let's, you know, talk about dogs eating our Bibles and stuff like that. Let's laugh and have a good time and stuff. But we've got to get to a place where, like, how do you look at that and be like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's do that. Let's have a guy, you know, who's a former stripper, you know, come and pull his, you know, shirt off and swallow swords and climb a stripper pole, you know, at a men's conference, you know. And then I thought this was recent, but apparently this one was several years ago, a women's conference. They had one of their youth leaders dress up like the Naked Cowboy, who's a guy in New York that just wears cowboy boots and a cowboy hat and his underwear. And he walks around Times Square and he plays guitar and he, you know, collects money and stuff. So they thought for the women's conference, this would be great if we dressed up like him in our underwear and did this little production, you know. And all these women are on the front row, like, standing up and screaming and waving. And I'm just, what is going on, you know? Like, you know, we've done events like with our youth and our teens and stuff in the past, not here, but other places. And it's fun, you know, for kids, and you get them excited and you preach the gospel to them and stuff. But we haven't had people in their underwear, you know. It's like we've got to recognize that there's a reality that God is the draw. You know, if you you look at the Asbury thing that just happened recently. Now, I didn't go. Several of the people from here went. God was moving. He was doing great stuff. People were getting healed. People were getting saved. Different things like that. It didn't go for a super long time, and it wasn't, in my perspective, it wasn't to the level of like the Pensacola, the Brownsville revival that was dramatic, you know, with the salvations, the miracles, the holiness. The repentance, the weeping and brokenness and things like that. But nonetheless, what happened at Asbury, it was like a week, and that thing, you heard about it all over the country. It was crazy how quick that blew up and how many people knew about that and how many people started going and flocking there from all over the nation just to be there. And it just shows you, like, if there's a move of God, you can do the greatest event in the world, and you might draw some people, but you let God begin to deliver people from cancer and begin to grow out limbs and begin to see the holiness of God fall on a crowd and people start repenting and getting saved, baptizing the Holy Spirit, you're going to draw some people, and you're going to draw them fast. And so we've got to get to a place where we recognize that this is the reality and this is what God wants to do. in our churches and in our country and in, and around the world. And he wants this to be the focus. He wants this to be the pivotal point. He's like, I am the one that touches you and brings you restoration and healing and deliverance. I'm the one that causes joy and peace to flow in your spirit and in your heart. You know, let's not be legalistic. Let's not condemn and throw rocks. And, you know, I was reflecting on some of that stuff. I was driving in this morning and I was just like a naked cowboy, like for real, like how did that staff meeting go? Like, I'm like, come on, you know? And I mean, at some point, even as he's backstage getting ready to walk out, you know, and look down and be like, yeah, maybe not a good idea. I don't. And I'm just reflecting on this. Like, I just don't get it. And the Lord's like, yeah, it's just bizarre. It's unconscionable. He's like, it's almost like, you know, being a Christian, being a believer, being a pastoral leader, and watching movies that are impure and unclean. And I was like, oh, man, I love my brave heart. I'm that guy's guy. You know, I love the warrior movies, and I love the adventure, and I love the battling good and evil and the things like that. And, you know, I love watching those, and God's like, yeah. How's that plank in your own eye, you know, working for you? And I realize, you know, when I get finished watching one of those movies, I'm not thinking, man, I want to go do some evangelism right now, or man, I really, I just want to pray in tongues for an hour. Gosh, you know, it's like, no, I want to go join the UFC right now or something. I just want to whoop somebody, you know, and so, you know, God just has a way of just like bringing it home and just like, you know, don't get up there on your high horse this morning and start preaching to everybody else how you need to get saved, you know, and delivered. He's like, you got some problems, you know, you got to work through yourself. And so I just recognize that all those little things, you know, that is so easy, you know, and I step back and I'm looking at, you know, Mr. Naked Cowboy up there. I'm like, how do you get to that? You know, and he's like, it's progressive. You know, it's like, it's not like, hey, we had, you know, an all-night repentance meeting last Sunday, so this week we're going to do Naked Cowboy. He was like, no, it's been a progressive thing of just making bad choices, you know, and putting your hope and your faith in things that aren't going to bring the results that you're looking for. And the reality is, again, I don't want to cast stones, but the reality is a monster truck rally is going to bring the kind of people that, you know, have jobs and pay tithes, you know? I mean, it's just honest. A revival where the Holy Spirit is breaking out and the holiness of God is falling on people is going to bring the broken and the wounded and the unclean and the overlooked and the unwashed masses, and it's going to be messy, and it's not going to look good all the times, and they're not going to go to know how to act in church, and they're not going to dress the right way, and they're not going to be your Sunday, you know, ushers and wearing suit and ties and giving their offerings. You know, that's just a reality a lot of times. You know, I mean, just got to be honest. I mean, that's what it looks like. You know, and so as a church, as a body, as a believers, we've got to just continuously recalculate our perspectives and our goals and our desires and what we want to put forward, you know, and what we want to use to bring people to the place of holiness, bring people to the places of deliverance, like bring people to the places where their hearts are getting transformed, you know. And, you know, I love a good, you know, battle movie and stuff like that. And it's fun, and you get worked up and all those kind of things. I want to go and, you know, hit on the punching bag and things like that. But I want to tell you something. If you've been on the streets, (sighs) and you went up with somebody that you can tell there's alcohol in their breath. They're totally broken. I mean, like at Mardi Gras, someone coming up to you, they're like a girl. I remember this one girl one time. I could probably share this story. Absolutely stunning, gorgeous girl. And I went up, and she had no shirt on, just the painted chest thing, the thing they do. And it was my first year at Mardi Gras, actually, and I'm super terrified. I was like, oh, this is going to be crazy. I'm single. I'm like 22, you know, and this is not a good place for me, you know. And But I got there super nervous. I fasted before I went, first time I'd ever fasted, and then ate Waffle House to break the fast, realized that was a very bad idea, very, very bad. But when I got there and I started talking to people, praying with people, like there was a grace on me that I've never experienced. And I saw this girl and I just felt like I've got to talk to her. You know, she's on the edge of the crowd. She's partying and drinking. And I go up to her and I start speaking to her. I never looked down. I was just no temptation whatsoever. And I just, you know, just began talking with her and stuff, you know, and she didn't get saved or anything, but like having those moments and conversations and then going and talking to someone else and just seeing this guy is broken, man. This guy just begins to share in how much Jesus loves him, how much Jesus wants to turn his life around and just begin to prophesy over him, the things that I see in him, you know, that the Lord's given me and stuff, and see him begin to weep. I mean, just like uncontrollably weak, and then just give his heart to the Lord. There ain't nothing of this world that comes close to mimicking the exhilaration in that moment when you see the manifest presence of God drop in a moment and touch somebody's life. There's nothing like it. And that's the thing that we have to keep feeding our hearts on, you know. What that, you know, the scripture talks about, you know, renew your mind and all those kind of things. It's reading your word, it's getting in his presence, it's sitting before him, but it's not just that. Renewing your mind is not just inhaling the word. It's not just sitting in a place and having worship music playing. It's not just, you know, the place of just intercession before the Lord and sitting before him silently and just listening to his voice to see what he has to say to you. It's also going out there and walking in the power and the presence of God and declaring the goodness of Jesus over people and speaking to them and praying over them, laying hands over them and touching their lives and prophesying over them, laying hands on sickness and praying for healing. Those things are renewing our mind as well. And so it's a full package kind of thing, because when you get to see it right in front of your face, there's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. You get to see the hand of Jesus, the face of God, show up and do things that you know you didn't do. You know, it's the glory of God that he does the things like the marching around Jericho for 7 days. And he says, what sword, you know, cannon, can we create that? You know, how are we going to knock down these walls? And he's like, a trumpet. Yeah, I want you guys with some trumpets, some lyres. Yeah, some of those guys, powerful weapons, and they just march around this thing and sing and shout. You know, he does things like that because he wants you to know not only that this isn't you, this is me, but he wants you to know that I did this for you. I want you to know, not this isn't just that I'm the one that's going to bring this victory in the Lord, you know, in this victory for Israel or this victory for you personally or whatever it is. He's like, I want you to know that I'm working with you. I want you to know that I see you. I know your heart. I know what you desire. And I want you to know that I'm walking in lockstep with you and doing this through you. I want you to know that I see you. Just plain and simple. I want you to know that I see you, that I know you, that you're not overlooked, that you're not the unwashed. You're not the one that, you know, I'm not as talented as this guy. You know, I can't sing and play guitar like this person. I can't preach like that person. I'm not, you know, as good looking as Tim is, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, I have no illusions about that. I exist on my anointing. I want you to know that I'm working for you. I see you. And I want you to know that I love showing up for you. I love showing up for you. And I want you to know that I showed up. Because if I just did it in the typical worldly, humanistic, man's strength kind of way, you may never know that I'm watching you as close as I'm watching you. And that I'm working with you the way that I'm working with you. God wants to show up, and he wants to touch our hearts, and he wants us to know that he's doing it in us. And, you know, as I look at, just with the IHOP response and all the bitterness and all the brokenness and all the offense and things like that, and there's reason for outrage, you know. Things like that shouldn't happen. They shouldn't happen. There's reason for outrage, and there's a reason for offense, but what we do with it matters. And we've got to get to a place where there's forgiveness and there's healing and there's restoration, because I can assure you it is an anchor on the soul and for us. And it's not one we want to carry. And in this room right here, I dare say half of you, if not all of us, have had offense and wounding in the church at some point, some way, somewhere or the other. And you know, I was talking with Rocky earlier. It comes in bunches, you know. It's a Job reality. It's like, you know, the Lord told Job, he's like, you can do anything you want, just don't kill him. What does the devil do? He destroys everything. I mean, no limits. Like he saves three guys, you know, out of everybody. Excuse me. He saves three guys just so that they can come one after the other. Hey, you know, this happened. The house fell down. All your kids are dead. And the other guy comes up. Hey, this happened. All your cattle are dead. This guy comes. Hey, all your crops are gone. You know. The only reason he saved those three is just for the dramatic effect, you know, of having them all come at the exact same time and say, dude, you've got nothing left. And how are you gonna handle that one? And that's how it happens a lot of times in our lives. My parents, before I was born and when I was born, a little baby, they went to Assembly God Church, Pentecostal, you know, went all the time. This is back in the 60s. And, you know, church, every time it's open, I don't know if they ever preached, but they ran up and down the aisles a lot, you know. I mean, just constantly running, shouting, a whole lot of whoop, whoop, and just craziness all the time. But from what I've, you know, been able to piece together looking back, it was a lot of glory times, not a whole lot of foundational, let's know God. You know, and so they had this like boom, boom, boom series of events happening. You know, I'm in the nursery. People aren't changing my diaper every week. They're picking me up and got poop everywhere, you know. And then their car breaks down the next Sunday. They call the church, see if they can get a pickup. The lady, yeah, whatever, the answer phone had a bad day, whatever, bad week. She's like, hey, that's not my problem. You know, figure it out. You know, I'm not a car service here, you know. And then something else happened. It was just like boom, 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 all these things. And because they weren't rooted and founded on who God is, and it was just a whole lot of rah-rah, you know, they end up walking away from the church. And they were gone from the church for 20 years almost, until I ended up getting saved and getting them back. And so things like that happened. And so we have to recognize, like, hey, right now I feel pretty good. You know, I'm doing a thing. I feel good. I'm living a moral life. I'm going to church. I'm paying my tithes. My family's good. All those kind of things. It's like I feel pretty good about temptations or different things like that. But that's not how the enemy works. Like, he likes to come in, show up, and like, boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden, like, you just lost your job. You just found out your spouse has cancer. And, you know, your dog chewed up your Bible. I don't know. All these things just like boom, boom, boom. And all of a sudden, like, you're reeling. You don't know what to do. What happened to God? Where is he at? And now, boom, here comes temptation, you know, right in that moment. And you think something that you never thought you could do, you did, you know. And so now you're really in a bad way. And that's why we have to recognize, like, I've got to get my face on him. And I can't let a leader that I you know, honor and, you know, bless and exalt and things like that. I'm so stricken by just the anointing, the power on them, and they fall, to let me follow down the same path. And we've got to recognize that as leaders, as a body, as a church, as those ones who are leading ministries and stuff around the church, that we've got to be checking our heart and going before the Holy Spirit and saying, you know, what can we do to make you the central element of everything that we do? Yeah, let's have fun. Let's you know, do all the things and stuff. Let's have community because it's critically important. But how can we make everything point to Jesus that we do? How can we begin to guard our hearts more and more as leadership, and then pass that on to the body of believers out here to say that we have prepared you. We have poured and given and poured out, you know, the foundational principles that you can stand on when things come up in your life that test you. You know, how can we continue to grow in those places so that we're making sure that we're building disciples, you know? And it's a constant thing. It's a place of arrival. It's a place that we're continually strive and strain for. And us, as we're all of us that are sitting out here receiving, how can we continue to grow in that kind of place of just drawing on the hand of God and just saying, God, help me. Like, I know everything is looking pretty good right now, but I know, you know, I am weak in my flesh. I know if Braveheart, if I see it, yeah, come on, I'm, oh man, God, I want to watch that. I know all these different things, you know, can really draw my heart so quickly because I'm weak. And I want your spirit and your grace and your power to be flowing into me. And I want to have my face looking at you. And I want to be renewing my mind and setting you before my presence so that I'm equipped and ready in that place. And let me just
double check my 10 words that I have on here to make sure.
I think about the church when it's, you know, the church is an institution, you know, the pastor, the leadership, it's critical. Like, we, you know, he's like, do not forsake the gathering together of the saints. It's critical. The whole thing you're talking about with community, critical. And I wish that we could turn back the clock some to where we had front porches, you know, where people sat on it and all the neighbors would stay and you'd sit out there and you'd talk and things like that. Now everybody's got back porches and we got the blinds that come up over them and build bushes so nobody can see us, you know, and we're totally isolated and I don't want anybody, you know, stealing my steak off the grill or anything or talking to me. I'm trying to watch YouTube videos out here. I wish we could turn back the clocks to that. But the reality is that the church is critical, but the church in God. And the church can't save your soul. And the church can't heal your broken body. And the church can't prophesy the things that your heart needs. And the church isn't the bridegroom. Jesus is. God is. He's the bridegroom. He's the one that delivers and sets free and heals and restores the brokenhearted. He's the one that we have to set our eyes on. He's the one that we have to drink and feed our soul on. He's the one that we have to lean on and look to and to be the one that we are watching. And if others fall along the way, then they fall, and we try and lift them up, and we try and forgive them, and we try and move on and just keep walking down the path. But if we've got our eyes on him, and it sounds so, you know, I can't even think of the word, but you know, trite or whatever. It's like, oh, you know, trust in God, you know. But the reality is look to God. But it is everything. It's everything. And we got to recognize that it's not going to get better. You know, the glory of God is going to be manifested in the earth in a way that has never been manifested as we go towards the end days. But so is the demonic and the evil and the interpretations of Christianity in the church. And so we've got to recognize, and, you know, the Bible says, don't get me on my revelation thing, but the Bible just talks about the great, it'll be another hour and a half here. Sam almost made me quit preaching after that last one. But the reality is the great falling away is called the great falling away for a reason. And so we've got to recognize it. We've got to keep our hearts sound and keep our eyes on Him. And so the reality is that we've got to look at Jesus. We've got to gaze on Him, and we've got to continue to set our hearts and our focus on His presence. And I thought about these are bad examples I'll give you, but I didn't have much time. Okay, so just work with me. A couple of guys, Zacchaeus and Nicodemus. There's a whole lot more to the story. I'm picking out one little piece of it. So for all you theological majors, don't crucify me. The reality is we, pretty much all of us have both of these guys in us at one phase of their life. You know, the Zacchaeus thing, you know, this guy, tax collector, you know, really short, had to climb the tree to see Jesus, you know, because he's so short and stuff. And, you know, he just goes there, I just want to see this guy, you know. There's this place where all of us kind of have that, you know, I call it the short man syndrome, you know. We all feel insignificant at times, you know. We all feel overlooked. We all feel untalented. We all feel ungifted. We all feel like we don't fit in. We all feel like, you know, I'm just not the smartest. I'm not the most gifted. I'm not the most talented. I'm not, you know, I'm not the best conversationalist, all those kind of things, you know. We have those moments where we feel like that and we drift into those places. And you have like a Nicodemus who is a Pharisee, and he comes to Jesus at night, you know, and he's, and Jesus is like, you know, you got to be born again. He's like, what? Yeah, born again? Crawl into the womb again? Like, what is, how does that work, you know? And Jesus is like, dude, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't even know this? Like, if you can't understand this, I haven't even started talking about heavenly things. What are you going to do when I start talking about, you know, the white horse and all those kind of things? You blow your mind, you know? And so there's this reality that we have that insignificant aspect to our heart sometimes, but we also have that place of like a Pharisee and a teacher, and we kind of think we got it all together. And I'm doing pretty good, and then, you know, you know, I'm a believer and stuff like that, but I don't want to, you know, live it out too loud. I just kind of, you know, maybe go to church at night so nobody else sees, you know, and just go talk to Jesus, but not when anybody else is around so they see me talking to him. That we have that kind of place in our hearts, too. There's an arrogance to us, but we don't want to exhibit that, you know. That walk out that place of life, the walk out that place of living as a believer. And I hope that makes sense. I don't, it was a really quick little thing, but my point is just to say that we have these different extremes that we bounce from, you know, that we live in. And the reality is that God wants to show up, and he wants to just blow our world up, you know. He wants to just blow up our understanding, our perceptions. And he wants to just begin to do things and just take us and walk us down pathways to see his glory begin to be manifested in our life and around us that we never expected. He said the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former. And it was a smaller, much smaller foundation, that latter house than the first. And they're like, they looked at it and it's like, oh man, this is so much littler than, you know, what was here before. And he's like, don't look at the size. He says, wait till you see the glory
that falls on this foundation. And this is what God wants to do in our hearts. He says, I want to take you by a path that you have not known before. And I want to show you things. And I want to begin to walk you down a pathway where my presence is going to do things that's going to exhilarate your heart in a way that nothing, no other imitation is going to come close to. And he wants to direct us and guide our steps. And he just wants to show up and do something. Can I have you for a second? Yeah. Can you do just like a little break dance thing? No, I'm just totally. I'm totally kidding. I'm just gonna. Well, let me clear you some space. We can get you a Chick-fil-A gift certificate or something after this. I just want you to just walk slowly across here. I'm just gonna walk with you. This. Hold on, just a second. I'm doing this on the fly. This is what God is wanting to do with this, and I don't think I can get it across as powerful as I would hope to, but this is just the reality that what God wants to do in our hearts and what he wants to be for us. And as we're just walking through life and just kind of walk slowly, this is God with us. Continuously, I never leave you nor forsake you. He's like, man, I love you. Man, you are so anointed. Wait, hold on a second. There's a guy. Okay, go ahead. I'm with you. I'm going to lead you. Hold on. Don't go step over this way a little bit. Right there. I don't want you going down that door. All right. Go over here. I want you to step into this and just stand right there. Yeah. Let the Holy Spirit just move. And then God does something incredible in his heart. Just turn around. We'll go back. It's this, I want to tell you what I see in your heart. I see this songbird, and I see this place where you're going to, you know, speak the fire and the word of God, and people are going to just fall in the presence of heaven. And it's just this place of just, like, you can keep going. It's just this place of God is, he's right there. He's saying how much he loves you. He's saying how much he's pleased with you. He's guiding your steps. He's closing doors. He's shutting doors. He's walking you. He's stopping us. He's pausing us. He's moving us forward. He's doing all this stuff because he wants you to know, I'm with you. I see you. I understand you. I understand your heart. I know your desires. I know the things that make you cry at night before you go to sleep. I know the things that you wish you could see and touch and taste. I know the loneliness. I know the frustration. I know the depression. I know the places where you're so confused and you just don't feel like you can keep going anymore. I know the places where you think I've left you and you can't feel me and you can't see me and you wonder why I don't love you anymore. I see those places. I know those places. I feel those places. And I want to be with you, directing you and leading you and speaking into your ear and guiding your steps and strengthening your ankles so they will not turn to the right or to the left. He says, I want to be the God that is right there in your stuff with you, speaking to you and moving you and restoring you. This is who he is, and this is the focus point of the church, the institution of the ministry of the church, is that we focus our eyes on Jesus because he's the only one that sees the things that we don't tell anybody. The church can't see that. The church leaders aren't going to do that unless God gives it to them. It is the Holy Spirit that is able to lead you into the fullness of Christ, lead you into the fullness of deliverance and holiness and restoration and peace and joy. That is who he is. He's the God that never changes. He's the God that always sees. He's the God that never misses. He's the God that always is for you and not against you. This is who he is. I thought about playing that video, like, this is my king. I don't know if y'all have heard it. He's like, he's the everlasting father. He's the king of kings. It's like a 3-minute thing of just, he's like, oh man, I wish I could describe him. And it is just, it's just so powerful. This is who he is. He's the God that is for us and with us in our stuff. And so we're going to end and Yeah, you can come. Do a beatbox or something. I don't know. I want us to have a time just to, you know, respond to the altar. And I'm, you know, I think it's one of the other things of, you know, just the church, that we don't take advantage of things that are available a lot of times, you know. Just because the, you know, the whatever, the buffet starts at noon or whatever it is, you know, let's get some lunch. But this altar time is so critical to our hearts. I mean, when's the last time somebody prayed for you? I mean, like spent a little time. When's the last time that you talked to someone and like said, hey man, this is what's going on in my heart. This is what I'm feeling right now. I could really use somebody to stand with me, give me a prophetic word, pray for me, hug me. You know, how often do we get that, you know? And there's an opportunity every Sunday when we come here to just come up here and just, whether it's just you alone, you know, talking to the Lord, whether it's someone else, you know, praying with you, just the opportunity to do that. And how needful it is to be able to take advantage of that time and just have somebody speak some words of life in our heart, you know, just encourage us. And we're all going through stuff. Don't tell me you're not going through. You've been grocery shopping this week. And when you know how expensive it is, you better get real. You better get honest. There's stuff going on in our hearts, stuff that we don't tell people, stuff that we're ashamed of. But God wants to set us free. And he wants to do it in a dramatic way. And he wants to do it in a way that he says, I see you. I know what's going on in your heart. You can't hide it from me. I'm just waiting on you to open up a door and let me in and let me touch your spirit. So I want to have an altar time for a couple of things. I want to have a time, if you've been wounded and offended by the church, by leaders, by a ministry, it didn't have to be just a church, a ministry, any kind of thing like that, and you're still carrying some grief with that, and I don't want you to just say, oh yeah, no, I'm good. Stop and ask the Holy Spirit. Just take a second, a few seconds, and just close your eyes and just ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, is there anything I'm carrying? You've been overlooked. You feel like you are insignificant. You feel like someone took advantage of you. You feel like you are a giver. You're the one that always volunteered and they took advantage of that and worked you to death or whatever it is. And maybe there's, you know, some clergy abuse, whatever kind of things. I want you to just take just a few seconds to just ask the Holy Spirit, is there anything that I need to bring before you, that I need to lay down and forgive? And if you come up for prayer for those things, I want you to, you know, just let the Lord speak to you. Ask him to help you forgive them. And then I want you to ask him for a word from the Lord for your heart, what he wants to say to you. And I want to give, you know, I want there to be a time for, obviously, if you just feel that dullness on your heart, if you just feel like God's not there and you want him to be, and you just need him to just turn your eyes a little bit, and you just need to hear his voice and his whisper in your ear to tell him that he loves, to tell you that he loves you. If you just have some questions and you need him to come and speak to you. And then if you've never received the Lord as your Savior, obviously, I want you to come and I want to pray with you. I want to have some of our ministry team pray for you. But if you've never received the Lord as your personal Savior, if you have any questions, any doubts about that, maybe you've done it in the past, you feel like it didn't take, I don't care where you're at on that spectrum, but if you have any questions about that, today is your day to start the most glorious journey you can ever possibly imagine. So if you got any of those things, you'd like to come up and spend some time with the Lord, just feel free to come on up. We're waiting for the one that breaks the waterfall up here. Need the one person to respond that causes everybody else to come up. Take advantage of these times. What's going on in your heart today? What are you feeling in your spirit today? Do you feel confused? Do you feel a little lost? Do you feel a little apathetic? Do you feel like you just want to be seen? Maybe you feel incredibly great, really feeling the power and the presence of God, and you just want to come up and thank Him and celebrate that. God, we just thank You. Father, we thank You. You are the Holy One. The only one, Lord Father, who sees the recesses of our heart. We just thank You for Your power and Your presence. We thank You for Your sovereignty, Your glory. We thank You, Lord Father, for Your blood that saves. But there are times, Lord Father, the thing that we thank You for most is just Your tenderness. Should a bruised reed He will not break. Thank You for Your tenderness with us, God, in our brokenness and our weakness. Thank You, Lord Father, for the way in which You just put Your arms around us sometimes and just draw us close. No words. Just draw us into Your presence. And we just thank You for that, Father. Just draw us close today. Just come and move us. Move our hearts to respond to You today. Move our hearts to respond to You today. To embrace Your tenderness and Your mercy. And Lord, I just pray for everyone, Lord Father, who's been wounded by the church, by leaders, by ministries. God, we just lift them up before You today. And we just ask, Lord Father, for healing and deliverance in their hearts. Lord, we ask You to restore peace and joy in their spirits. God, we ask You to restore, Lord Father, their vision, their joy for the body, for the church, for leaders. We just pray that You would heal their hearts. You would speak to them. You would prophesy to them. You would speak to them, Lord, not only healing, but Lord, You would tell them, this is how it affected me. I know it wounded You, but it wounded me as well. And I want to come with You. I want to embrace You, draw You close. I want to feel Your brokenness, and then I want to heal Your heart. And God, we just pray for the church. God, we don't want to cast stones. We don't want to, you know, say we're better than or we've got it figured out. God, we're weak and broken, and we just need You. God, we just ask, Lord Father, for a fresh revelation of Jesus, the bridegroom, the one who sustains, the one who heals. God, the one who knows our heart. God, help us to walk in that place of just freedom and joy, peace in our spirits, sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and what He's doing. The glory of heaven resting on our hearts and on our lives, on our families, in our workplaces. Lord, seeing the salvation of God come and touch unbroken or broken people. God, we just ask You to come and manifest Your glory. Manifest Your glory. This is what you desire, and this is what our hearts long for. Our hearts long for glory. It's what we were created for. It's the highest height. Just feel like this is a word from the Lord for us. You don't know what I see in you. You think, because you've lived with you all your life, you think that you understand you. You think that you define your identity. You think that you qualify what you're called to. But I say that I'm the one that created you. And I know you far beyond you, what you ever will know yourself. And I have things for you that you didn't have on your radar. And I want to use you. And I want to partner with you. My title isn't bridegroom for some arbitrary reason. I am your husband. I am overwhelmed with my desire for you, with my passion for you. I say to you today, let me have your identity. Let me have your destiny. Let me have your choices. And I will overwhelm you with where you go. So Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness to us. We just pray, Lord, Father, that as we go throughout this week, Lord, that your presence would just grow in us. Lord, that your joy would just rest on our hearts and in our spirits. Lord, that you would lift up our countenance. You would lift up our eyes up to heaven, Lord, and we would gaze upon your beauty, and we would be touched and changed. And everywhere that we go, Lord, we would carry, Lord, Father, this glow of being in your presence. I just thank you, Lord, Father, for everyone that is here today. And I just pray your anointing will rest on them, would fall on them. They would find, Lord, Father, you working out things for them this week that just didn't seem possible before. That, Lord, you'd begin to meet financial needs, physical needs, emotional needs, time needs, schedule needs, in ways, Lord, that they just didn't expect. So, Lord, just come. Just come and move. We just thank you for your goodness and your mercy. And we bless you. In Jesus' name.